excited because today we have a panel happening, if you can't tell by the many chairs behind me. I'm very excited because we're in our series, The One Another Life. And who knows that life is so much better when it's with people, when it's with community, when it's with people who get you, when it's with people who challenge you. All of those things is what helps us to be seen and feel connected and know that we're not alone. And so that is what church is all about. It's about that connection, that community, and doing life with other people who want to be more like Jesus. And so I have the privilege of welcoming up our panelists today. We have the wonderful Pastor Ebony Frecker. Give her a round of applause. We've got my husband Toby as well. And then making her panel debut, we have Jules Phelan. Go, Jules. So good. Welcome up, everyone. Band, you're amazing. You can finish now. You guys are amazing.
You're dismissed.
You're dismissed. I was like, I don't know how to say thank you, but also leave at the same time. You guys are amazing. Well, I'm excited about today's message because it's all about having a pastoral heart, all about loving each other in church, doing life well. And I think all of us have had a moment, whether it be in church or in a relationship or a friendship, where something, and the something is a someone, pulls us in, makes us feel seen, and then changes the way that our life kind of looks. And so that is what we are talking all about today. But before we get started, I got a fun question for you guys, just so we can get to know you a little bit more. Pastor Ebony, you can start us off with this fun one. The question is, what is something you never thought you'd like until you actually tried it?
Oh, such a good question.
Is there something that you're like, I can start us off if you don't have one?
I think I've got one.
Good, yeah. Good.
But good morning, church. nice to see you. And want to extend Ash's welcome as well, especially if you're new here today. Welcome. Nice to have you here. But the first thing that came to mind is I'm really into K-dramas, like Korean dramas, but I think I've always been like, oh, subtitles are so annoying to read. But now I'm absolutely obsessed, and it's been like 5 years. I've watched every K-drama.
How
on
many
Netflix.
Do you think?
Too many to count. Like so many. So yeah, that's something that I unexpectedly like. I love. Like I love
them. It's a passion.
It's a passion. Yeah, it's so good. So
I
yeah, that's
it.
My answer.
So good, Ev. How about you, Jules?
I never thought I'd love going to the gym because Warren is a gym fanatic and for years tried to get me to go. Come on, you'll love it, you know, as he tries everyone probably here. Yeah. But now I'm there and I love it.
So good.
Yeah.
I know, and it's one of those things where until you try it, you just don't know.
Correct. Early
love
mornings,
it.
Didn't think I would, but I do enjoy
How
it.
Early is it?
6.
You've done well, Warren. Well done. How about you, Topes?
I'd say growing up, I was not a fan of country music. I didn't like it. But now it is the absolute jam. If you don't listen to country music, that's your homework today. Listen to country music.
He made a country song our first dance song. And
that was my only advice for the whole wedding.
That's the only role he played.
A country song for first dance. That's it. Thank you very much.
So good. Oh, I love it. Now, we have been talking about like the 5 streams of ministry in church over the last year. We've done the prophetic, we've done teacher, we're in this pastoral stream, pastor stream at the moment. But out of the 5 streams, which 2 do you feel like are the most present in your life right now? And how do you feel like they show up when you're kind of loving people? Do you want to go first, Eb? You can start us off.
Okay, I'll start. I think my top 2, the first one's actually prophetic and then the second one's the pastoral one. But I think, I mean, it's hard for me to answer this because I am the location pastor here with Dan. So, like, the pastoral one is always quite strong in my life. Yeah. I think that's one. But I'm in this season at the moment. I'm, like, technically on maternity leave. Mm-hmm. I've got Brave, our son, who's 16 months old and then pregnant with our next baby. And so I have been like really kind of pulled into the prophetic world, I guess. And the way I've been doing it is I've got time. I'm at home a lot, and so I've been really praying. And when I was pregnant with Brave, I like printed off, I hope you don't mind this, church, but I printed off everyone's names in church and cut them up, and then I had them in a box, and I would pray over our church. But
that's so cool.
I pulled out a piece of paper and I would be like, God, what should I pray for this person, without looking at their name? And then I'd like feel like, oh, I'm praying for provision or healing, or like, you know, just felt like this thing in my heart to be like, what is it? And then I'd open it up. But like, so, sometimes I'd pray for like finances and it would be like one of our creche kids, and I'm like, be blessed, child. Like, I was just like, you know, it wasn't always like, I didn't open up and go, like, wow, so accurate. Like, anyway, but yeah, just kind of, it's a safe place when you're just at home and you don't have a microphone, you're prophesying over someone. But it's cool to kind of, yeah, I've been pressing into that. Yeah, there.
Cool. And I think the cool thing about that as well is you see the prophetic, but the pastoral. Like, someone without a pastoral heart wouldn't be praying for every member of our church. Like, it's cool to see how both of those things work in your life. Eb. So cool. And thank you for praying for us. Jules, how about you?
I think my first one is pastoral and secondly is prophetic. And, like, I don't know if you remember like the breakdown we had of all the streams, and it would describe the points of what you do in them. I'm working on certain points in each one of them. I do not cover them all. However, I do feel like the pastoral side, I seem to just naturally get into those positions wherever I am. Like, it might be within family, at work, community. I don't know why, but I attract, I don't know, conversations and care. And I often have, how are you? And then tears come from somewhere. To the point where I'll call Woz on the way home from work. I'm like, so today it was this lady. I feel like that's more my job than what I'm doing at work. Yeah. So, yeah, I think God's just put me in that position. I have a heart for people and people who are struggling or going through hard times. And then the prophetic side, I'm a natural encourager, and people have said to me before, oh, you just say that, like, you just encourage people all the time. So I've been really trying to grow into that and be more intentional with the encouragement, and not just have it as a way as I talk to people, but make it specific to people and follow it up in prayer, and then the intercession side. Yeah.
So cool, Jules. Love that. So good. How about you, Toby?
So cool. I'd say for me, I go through seasons, and I'm sure there's many of us that we go through, like, one season I'm flowing in this stream or this stream or this stream. So I'd say at this current point of time, I'd say my would be pastoral and prophetic as well. I'd say the reason, and I'd say like the I can't even think of the word, like the reason why essentially is through any of the stream, we obviously want it to bring glory to Jesus. We want it to equip his church and his saints. And so for me personally, for whatever stream it is, in specific pastoral and prophetic, I just have the constant vision almost of, I'm looking at these people through the lens of God. We're not looking at them through the lens of ourselves and our earthly beings, but we're actually seeing the people that we're encouraging, the people that we're pastoring, through the eyes of Jesus. And it's like, for me personally, it's a constant prayer of going, God, just my heart, I want my heart to beat for what yours is beating for, and I want to, whatever that looks like, whatever stream you want us to operate in, it's the grace that God puts on your life for that specific season. So I just want to be fruitful with that and obedient in what God does.
So cool. Love that. I think, so all of you have pastoral as one of your key streams. But I know whether maybe it was not always your top stream. Maybe it was something that you've had to learn to grow into, to understand more. So whether it was an area of strength for you, can you just share what's on your heart when it comes to loving other people? If it's one of your top ones, like, what is on your heart when it comes to loving people? I know you started to talk about that a little bit, Jules. Or if it's not your strong suit, or maybe it wasn't once your strong suit, what helped you to grow into being someone who loved people and really cared about pastoring other people? Do you want to maybe even start us off, Jules? Just let us know what that journey's been like for you.
Yeah, I'm naturally not a person who would be sitting here or leading a group or putting my hand up to do something, talking to people. I'm an introvert, and I like to sit back and be told what to do and just do the jobs. So, yeah, God's definitely worked on my heart that way, because I never, ever would have put my hand up to be a Connect group leader. But C3 definitely build you up and give you the skills and the comfort and also the resources to be able to do it. So, yeah, that's definitely brought me into being more of that pastoral leading stream. And it's also made me get in the Word and, you know, rely on Him that it's not about me and what we're teaching or talking about at Connect. It's what He's bringing to the group, and we're a group, you know. So, yeah, He's really put that on my heart to then take that and just serve God, because, you know, we talked about James 13 and our commandment is to love one another, and then we're the example as a great disciple to other people, and that's the bottom line of what we're supposed to be doing. So, I guess take it to the Word and then apply it.
So cool. And I know that now you guys run a thriving group, and it's so cool. Like, literally every person that joins your group is like, oh my gosh, I love Warren and Jules, they're amazing. But is there like a fruit of, so obviously you've not always felt, you know, confident in that area, and then you've been obedient and you've learned and grown. What has been like the biggest fruit, or like the coolest thing that's come out of like saying yes and doing those things, Jules?
Yeah, I think just having, feeling like you have an encouragement in yourself to like live life along with your friends and your family and come alongside of people when they're having a tough time, because you're equipped to be able to just be there with them and practically help them with meals and prayer, and it just blossoms the more you step into it, I guess.
That's so good. It blossoms the more you step into it. It's so true, because sometimes we'll wait and we wait for something to happen, and it's like actually when we step into it, that's where kind of God moves and blossoms those friendships and relationships. How about you, Tobes?
Yeah, I'd say very similar thing as I was saying. It's about the heart, and it's about, and it's almost like the thing, it's a grace that God puts on you, because you'll find in times, like for me personally, I'll like, whether it's a young adult or it's a Connect group or whatever it may be, you imagine even having a coffee with someone, and you'll just feel God's heart for them. And you'll, like, there's been so many occasions, and, you know, before I came to Jesus, I was not a crier. It never happened. It was awesome. But He tore me down, that's for sure. But now it's just like, I could just look at someone and just burst into tears. And it's just like, why? Thank you, Peter. And it's just like, but why is that? And then that's when you go on the journey with God, of going, hey, God, what does this person need? And the really cool thing about speaking about the pastoral stream, about the helping and the care and everything, it's not, you don't need to know everything. You don't need to, you just have to be that one step in front of them. You don't need to know the answers to every single problem they have. Because the great thing with us and the great thing with Jesus is that we may not have the hand to help them, but we know the hand that can help them, and we know how to connect them to that. So Foster's role for me personally is just like, I gotta take the pressure off of going, it's not my problem to solve. It's not, obviously I can pray with them and I can support them and I can help them best I can, but my goal is to actually connect them directly to Jesus, because at the end of the day, He's going to fix the problem, not me. So,
That's so good. So good. How about you, Ed?
Yeah, I wouldn't say the pastoral stream is my strongest one. It's like just my secondary one. So I think, I don't know why, whether it's like Hollywood or maybe the old school way of doing church, that I think when we think of a pastoral person or a pastor, I think we all kind of picture someone or something that's, and I would picture, you know, the person who's like the sanguine, who knows everyone, who's just like, just loves like being with people and can do coffee after coffee and have like wisdom and have all this like, and cook meals and do the hospital visits. I don't know. I just like, I've always thought like, that's not me. Like I call myself a raging introvert. Like the thought of having coffee after coffee is just like, couldn't drain me faster. And so I had to really, and I'm still learning, but I've had to learn that there's a gifting and, I guess, a passion in my heart that doesn't mean you're a personality type. Like, it's actually something different. And so, and knowing that who you are, like who God's created you to be, can tap into these gifts, but be yourself and bring something new to, I mean, we're talking about the church, like what you can bring to the house of God and loving one another in church. And so I'm, yeah, I've had to grow and be like, it's okay that I'm so grateful for like Pastor John and Dan and even Pastor Phil and Chris who started C3. Pastor Phil talks about it a lot. Like I think me and Pastor Phil have a similar personality because the way he shares about I'm not a counsellor, like don't take me to a hospital, I'll faint, I won't pray for you. He's talked about this and I've like sat there going, oh, okay, well maybe I can love people the way God wants me to rather than... And so the pastoral heart in me really came out way before I was ever a pastor. I was just serving in youth. But I had this thing in my heart that I was like, I could see the young people that were kind of on the edge and like... And I've always just been like a real heart to gather people. Like just like, no, come in. Like come into the family. Come into the house of God. Like the you are loved, you belong thing. Like... I don't know who made that up, yep. Who thought of that in prayer. I don't know if it was me or if it was Dan or the team. I don't know. But, like, that is the pastoral heart of me. It doesn't look like the one-on-one coffees as much. But it's the shepherd that can gather. And so learning, like, okay, well, what is my heart? What is God calling me? And it's kind of grown from that, but it hasn't had to look like a typical personality. Otherwise, I would have written myself off years ago, I'm not a pastor, I'm not the pastoral heart.
So true. I love that, Eb, because it's so true. I think sometimes we go, oh, well, that's, you know, you have to be a pastor or you have to, you know, have that personality type or have those giftings. But actually, the Bible talks about all of us loving each other, all of us loving the church, all of us making disciples. And that only happens when we are unique and individual and we go, okay, well, with what God's given me, how do I love the people around me? And even the other thing when you were saying that, Eb, is like you can pray for a heart for people. Like you can actually, if you find yourself kind of hearing these things and you're like, oh my goodness, that is not me. Like you can actually go, Lord, like give me a heart for some. Even I remember I did this once and I did it for one person. And I just went, all right, Lord, give me a heart for this person. And then you just pray and you intercede. And kind of like what you told us earlier, if you don't feel it, that's okay. Like you can intercede and you can ask God and you can get a heart for people.
Yeah. And so I find that so often the gifting and the calling that God has on our lives is beyond our personality because of that. Like he's calling us to rely on him or us to learn more about him in a certain area so that we can then give that to others. And so, yeah, I often think he stretches us beyond what we... Because otherwise you think, oh, it's just my gifting, it's just my natural ability. But no, it's actually the grace of God that's on your life to
so
do
good.
It.
So good. Love that, Eb. So cool. Now, when we're living out this one another life where we're supporting each other and loving each other, for you guys... What does that actually look like? What does a one another life look like in loving, serving, showing up? What does that look like for you guys? And maybe you start, Tobes.
I'd say, if I even had to put it in one sentence, I'd just say it's the choosing people over convenience and really just going, you know, sometimes we got to take a step back. Sometimes, and obviously we go through seasons of life where we obviously have to look after ourselves and we have to do that. But really just going on and saying, hey, this may not be convenient to me right now, but at the end of the day, people are my priority. There's often that, you know, when I moved to Melbourne, I was our production guy. Heads up to our production team. They're awesome. But for me, it was the pastoral stream was never on my radar whatsoever. I was like, I've moved to Melbourne. I'm going to set up production. That's me. I'm Gucci. And then it was just the revelation of Pastor Dan and Eb do this. They have this saying so well that it's people over task. And I had to go over that journey of going ministry. Just as ministry is a task, and there are task-orientated things in ministry, but ministry actually isn't a task, it's actually people. And so for me, it's just going that every single day, just going, yeah, people need to be our priority, even when it's not convenient. And even as Pastor Ed was just sharing about the whole, you know, our signs at the front that say, you are loved, you belong. I'm pretty sure that was you and Dan, by the way, just to put it on the record. But we don't just say that because it's a cool saying. We don't just have that written in our building because it's a cool slogan, but it's actually the truth that it's our job and it's our, as the church, capital C church, is to know that every single person that walks through those gates, every single person we do life with, that they know that they are loved and they belong before they even believe. And so even before they make the decision to follow Jesus, even before they make the decision to serve or do X, Y, Z, they need to know that they're loved and that they belong. Totally. So
love that. So, so cool. How about you, Jules?
Yeah, for me, I guess everyone has a very full life and we do too. And there's just so much going on all the time. Every night after school, weekends are maxed out. It's just so easy to get just trying to survive mortality. Like, you just, like, I've just got to get through today. I've got to get dinner done. I've got to do... Like, it sounds like little things, but it's just every day I find is full. So I have to be super intentional, like, setting alarms on my phone for people I'm praying for, you know, just to get that regularity, writing lists of who I need to follow up. You know, they've had a tough week, give them a call, or they're having surgery, check in with them. And also, yeah, practical stuff, meals, sending scripture, just little messages of love you, just simple things. But, yeah, I have to make sure that I book it into my week, because it just flies, and that's another week gone, and you might just miss that little opportunity to help someone out.
Do you want to answer the questions too?
Good girl.
So cute.
So beautiful.
So cute. Oh my goodness. A little red shoes. I love that, Jules.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So it's practical stuff that yeah. I have to make sure I'm doing.
Yeah, yeah, love that. And I think it's so true. Like, sometimes as well, we can go, okay, well, you know, Jules is a Connect group leader, Warren's a Connect group leader. You know, they might send me a scripture or a verse. But then I think for us, it's also going, okay, how can I pray for people in my group? How can I then go and send them scriptures in the week? How can I, you know, reach out and see if they need something? It's like, yeah. It's not just, you know, Warren and Jules the leader, but as a church or as a Connect group, how do we love each other and yep. replicate what we're kind of learning here today? Mm-hmm. I love that, Jules. How about you, Em?
Yeah, I just, one practical thing that I've had to, again, it's not my natural comfort zone. I don't love this. I'm not confident in it. But I think Dan, my husband, he's not here today, but Dan, he's the opposite. He's like, I think he's like a pastor to the bone. He thinks he's all five. Straight. All five. But anyway, he kind of is. I don't know. Anyway, so it's helpful being married to someone like that, because I've learned a lot through watching him. But a big thing that we just decided early on, again, when we were just youth leaders and when we first got married, is to open up our home to people and have hospitality. And I just think, through doing that, and back then when we were just young adults, and again, we were doing it first for our youth leaders who were like 16, 18 year olds, and so it was just chicken nuggets and like McDonald's. It was like, bring your own KFC. It was gross, but like, again, it wasn't glamorous, but just the power of having people sit at your dinner table on a meal is like none other that you get in the church. So, like, after church we have coffee and we have welcome parties and, you know, in groups, but just to have like people in your home at the table, it's honestly like a powerful ministry that we can do to love people. And just the way the conversations you have, again, it doesn't even have to be deep. It's just like, oh, like how did you guys get married? How did you meet? Yeah. Like, what are your kids into? Like, you just the family like gets built at the table. And this blue, then, you know, we became location pastors, and really, like, this location was built at the dinner table, because we didn't have a church building, we didn't have Sunday services, we just ran church in our home and had lunch. We watched the online service from the coast and then had lunch together at the table, and it was just, like, amazing, the love and the connection you can get at a dinner table is like none other. Yeah. Even though I hate it, I'm not a good cook. I stress
you say that, but Eb's actually a great cook.
I'm not.
You
but
are.
Anyway, it's powerful.
You're so right. And even hearing you speak about that, I actually think a pastoral heart often is birthed at a table. Like, it comes when you're meeting with people, when you're talking to people, when you're having those meals and you're doing those things. Often that pastoral heart won't come from a passing high in a hallway. Like, it comes from knowing deeply. And I love that idea, Eb, of inviting people. Even we did I forget what we call it, like, our theme of the year was sacred hospitality. And the whole year we challenged ourselves to invite people for dinner, to have our homes open. And I think it's also just a good reminder for us to go, that it wasn't just a one-year thing. It's how do we do that daily or weekly or monthly or whatever that looks like, and challenge ourselves, because Yeah, and it takes the putting it in your calendar and doing all those things because time goes past and life gets busy. And unfortunately, those are the things that normally get dropped in life. So love that, guys. Now, when it comes to this one another life and loving other people, what do you think holds believers back from loving one another really, really well? And is there a way that like you guys have been able to, I know we've talked about it a little bit, but and being able to invite people into kind of your heart in that sense. But mostly, like, what do you think holds people back from loving really well? Maybe, Tobes, you start.
Yeah, I'd say very similar to what we were saying. I think busyness can easily get in the way of us putting blockages up, putting hurdles in the way of just going, and obviously there are seasons of life where it is really busy and we have to be careful. But I think sometimes, and I love Pastor Sam Long was preaching to our young adults I don't know if it was this conference or last year, and he was basically saying that young adults, we say we're busy, but we're actually never going to be less busy than we are now. And so for it's just like that, you know, busyness will get in the way. Another thing is fear of man or fear of rejection of going, you know, I'm putting my wall up because I don't know if this is actually going to help them, and I don't want to, you know, intrude, or I don't want to, you know, I just, you know, or the, just the simpleness of going, which is, I think, sometimes can happen in the church world. And I love how you're sharing before, Ash, about our connect groups and just the mindset of going, oh, it's okay, my connect leader will do that. Or just that mindset of going, oh, that's not my role, or I don't have to do that. So I just say between those three things of being busy, being the fear of man, or just the ultimately going, hey, this isn't my job, so I don't need to do it kind of thing, what I'd say are big distractions.
Totally. I think we've all been there and had those moments, but it's learning how to overcome them with God. How about you, Ev?
Yeah, I think maybe feeling unqualified, like feeling that you might not have something to give, or again, you're not that type of person to go up to someone new and just invite them into your home, or I don't know, just feeling a bit, like you just think that's not you. But I just think we all have a part to play, and we all have someone that God will, like, I love what Jewel said, that people are just drawn to her to like open up their heart to her because she's like pastoral hearted to the T. But God will bring people along your path that, yeah, you have the opportunity to go a bit deeper, or it's kind of up to you what you, how much you're going to, I guess, serve and love and be generous with your life for others. And so, yeah, I think maybe feeling unqualified, feeling like you don't have something to give. I think another thing is, something that's been on my mind is like capacity. Like I think the thought of someone coming to me with their like struggles and their problems kind of freaks me out a bit, because I'm like, what am I going to say? How am I going to help this person? Like, I don't have the answers. And also, I don't know if I've got capacity to take on this person's burdens, you know. But I've found that the more generous we are and actually going, okay, this person's came to me or they've crossed my path, like the more I open up to them, or, you know, I guess serve them, it actually does give you life. Like, it gives you joy, and like it's an honor to partner with people. And like we're talking about, the grace of God just comes into situations, and I'll say something, be like, that wasn't me, because like
that was the wisest thing I've ever said.
Yeah, I was like, wow, that was a good answer to that question, even though, like, you know. And yeah, it's just like amazing, because there is a lot of stuff out there that's like, oh, you know, look after yourself, be kind to yourself. What's like the saying?
It's self-care.
Yeah, like self-care. Yeah, you do you. And I'm all for that. I think that's really, really important. But I think we can get so like, oh, I just got to look after myself, that we kind of close off to other people because we're afraid of taking on too much or overwhelming. But just being really good at like, I'm going to open up my life and do this, because when we need it, we'll want that. Yeah. So like, let's be that for other people as well.
So true.
Yeah. And I think, I don't know, if you just step out and do it, you're fine. You're okay. Like, you can take on people's mess and things and God will just give you the grace to carry it.
Totally. Love that. Now, I might jump on to the next question. And that's more about, like, can you guys think of a moment where someone's care or encouragement in your life made a really huge difference? And has that shaped who you are today? Has that shaped the way that you love Jesus? What does that look like for you? And maybe I'll start with you, Jules.
Sure. Ooh.
Sorry. I just think of the times that, like, we've been just, I don't know, someone's been sick, Ella's had surgery, or we're in a tough spot, and every time, like, people in this church have blessed us, and it just comes from nowhere. I remember during COVID we were renovating, living in the caravan, in the shed. Ella was in a wheelchair post-surgery, and it was just full on, and Kathy Clow delivered us meals, and she knew Ella's favourite biscuits, and she delivered her the cookies. It's just people like that that just know when you need something, and, gee, you so appreciate it. Like, after you've experienced that, you just want to go and do that for someone else. And even, like, Jack's in youth, Ella's about to join, but, like, the compassion and the care from the youth leaders to our kids is just, like, the check-ins, coming to watch basketball, just following things up if they're having a hard time. It's just such a big thing to us. Yeah. It might be small to them, but, yeah, it's massive to us. So, yeah, just little things in church that I've been home alone, Toby's dropped me a meal, do you need dinner? You know, like, it just makes such a big difference to everyone.
Totally.
Yeah.
I love that, Jules. So cool. And thank you to people like Kathy who literally
Legends.
Are a champion. Kathy makes all the meals and stuff in church from the care team, and she's an absolute legend.
Yeah.
And you encapsulate the heart of a pastoral heart. So we're grateful for you, Kathy. How about you, Tobias?
Yeah, I'd say for me personally, I went through a bit of a rough patch about 6 years ago, and I went on a bit of a walkabout. Left, I didn't leave church. I was the cliche one foot in, one foot out kind of thing, and I was definitely doing not the best of things in my own personal time. But for me, I had two men in specific on our Sunshine Coast location. I was living up on the coast at the time, and for me, it was the heart that these two guys, and I won't cry when I think about it. This is what I was talking about. Anyway, that I was being a turd, essentially. And these two guys never stopped loving me. They never stopped caring. And it was just that sense of there was no judgment. There was no agenda. It was purely just care. And for me, I look back on that and where I was to where I am now. And that's why I was like, for those two guys that did it to me, it'd be rude of me not to do that for others.
Yeah.
And it would be rude of me to accept that from them and then just go do my own thing. So yeah, for me personally, was I went through it season, and there was just these two guys that, as Jules was saying, they loved on me, they took me out for coffee, they'd pray for me, they'd never talk about the things I was doing. I knew that they knew what I was doing, but there was never any judgment. There was never any, it was just pure love and care and acceptance. And so yeah.
So cool. I love that so much. Now, obviously, you know, we get to do this and we get to show that one another care, but that love that we show people only comes because of Jesus and only comes from an overflow of having a relationship with God and knowing his love for us and knowing the joy and the hope that comes from having a relationship with Jesus. And so to finish us off for today, I just love all of you to just answer the question, how has Jesus revealed himself as your shepherd in your life, like guiding you, comforting you, helping you? Like, what is your revelation as Jesus being that for you guys? I'll start with you, Eb.
Yeah, I've been brought up in church, so I've basically known Jesus my whole life, like as a little girl all the way till now. And I'm so grateful for that, because when I think of Jesus as the shepherd, I just have always felt this safe place in God, like in Jesus. And, you know, it doesn't mean, and we know this, that it doesn't mean that life is all good. There's been tough times, just like disappointments. There's been feeling lonely, like feeling just, you know, there's life has happened and is happening. but I've just always known and just felt this peace, like nothing else, that I can, when I'm all alone, like I can just pray to God and just feel this safe place. Like it's hard to explain with words. You've got to kind of experience it for yourself. But just this, you know, the Bible says that he prepares a table for you in the presence of our enemies. And that's like a really beautiful scripture of a good picture of what it's like when life is hard and there's hard hitting things and you can be feeling whatever and you just like turn to Jesus and you just feel this peace amongst your enemies. Yeah. And so I think, you know, with a shepherd, they're there to protect you. They're there to keep predators away. And even though, you know, I'm sure sheep hear the lions, hear the bears, they can like see them close by. But when the shepherd's there, they're probably calm. Like, I don't know what a sheep's thinking. But like, that's what it feels like to me when I have Jesus with me. It's like, whatever happens, I can just go to that place where I'm just either praying or putting on a worship song, or I'm just like looking to God and I just feel this safe place, this peace. And that, like, there's some, Jesus is going to guide me through this. Like, I'm going to get through it. And I don't know, there's heaps I could say, but yeah. I'll just say that one.
But. So cool, Ev. I love that. How about you, Jules?
Yeah, I could talk about so many times that I've had to lean on God, and I haven't had him all my life, but man, since I've had him, he's just gotten me through. I would not be here without him. Yeah, just simply in the lows, you know, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams and he gives me strength. The amount of times I've gone through that with him, just so, so good. And he's always there at your rock bottom, but at the times of celebration as well. And yeah. Here's the tears.
It's the couch.
It's the couch. Yeah, I'll leave it at that. Like, he's my refreshment. He's always shepherded me and... yeah, I want to help give that to other people.
Love that, Jules. That's beautiful.
So cool. I'd say for me, very much similar what Pastor Eb and Jules have spoken about. And on top of that, I'd just go and say the revelation of knowing how close he is, and knowing that it isn't a distant father. It's not a distant Jesus that's up in heaven looking down on us and hoping everything's okay. Yeah. But the reality is he's actually inside of us. He's next to us. He's beside us. He's in every moment of, as Jules was saying, in the lows, but also in the highs. It's he's close. He's, you know, very similar to Psalm 23. It says, you know, he leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. And so every time I'm down, every time I'm not doing well or whatnot, he restores your soul. He doesn't just make sure you're okay. He doesn't just say, you'll be right, you're going to get through this. He actually restores us. And for that revelation of, and Pastor John had an awesome illustration last week on his message, if you haven't seen it yet, of what a shepherd did for sheep, actually, like physically on earth. And for me, it's just that resemblance and that realization of that's Jesus to us. Of, you know, when the sheep are in the pen and there's no gate, Jesus is at that gate standing on behalf of us, before us, to every moment there's a challenge, every moment there's a... whatever it looks like, that the same shepherd resemblance here on earth, and as much as we can then be the shepherds to others, but before that, Jesus is actually my shepherd. Yeah. And just knowing how close he is.
That's amazing, guys. Thank you so much for just sharing with us, for encouraging us, for helping us to have even like deeper hearts for people. And I think out of today, we're all going to be a little bit more on fire to love people, to invite them into our homes, to send that message of encouragement. And yeah, I'm excited for, you know, all that God is doing in this house, but the relationships, the friendships, the family that's formed out of those things is so cool. And like you guys said, it all comes because we know who God is and we know his heart. So would you guys give these guys a massive round of applause? Thank you so much, guys. You guys are amazing. Love hearing your hearts for people. How crazy is that, that Pastor Eb literally wrote out everyone's names and then prayed for them? There's going to be a rich kid one day.